In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Dear Pastor O, O fellow saints in Christ, old and young, Adam Thomas, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in Christ Jesus. In the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, we hear about war in heaven. This is surprising to us because we don't expect to hear that there ever was anything like this in heaven. And yet we all realize that the evil one, who even now works awful deeds on earth in the sons of disobedience, hatred, murders, lust, rape, adulteries, lies, and deceit, was once an angel in heaven. When war broke out there, who is like God fought against deceiver. It was Michael against the devil. It was the archangel against Satan. It was war, and it was bloody, and it was victory over the devil. Victory in heaven came the same way as it has come on earth, by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb was slain since the foundation of the world. It was this victory that was the basis for hope for Daniel and all Israel while Israel lived in bondage in Babylon. All is connected. It is this victory of Jesus crushing Satan that is the basis for our confidence that in every strife, in all warfare which we face, we will be victorious through the blood of the Lamb. In Matthew 18, we hear that there was war among the disciples. Well, maybe war is a bit too strong, but the disciples were fighting. Not the way the Apostle James used to wrestle with his little brother John when they were boys, or the way Levi will wrestle with Adam one day. Their battle was with words. Surprisingly, it was the same old battle. It was over who was greatest in heaven. The way the 10 northern tribes fought to be greater than Judah. Everyone in this world fights for the first place. The way James and John, Peter and Andrew did, the way Satan fought with Michael. The victory was won when the Son of God went forth to war and by his self-sacrifice on the cross defeated the serpent. This happened in time right in the midst of the disciples. Jesus, by his humility, battling the evil one with his pride, pride which is at the root of all warfare, Jesus won by his death and burial and resurrection. Satan conquered as our sin and death. But Jesus goes on to describe one more form of warfare that continues within the church militant even today. It is a battle for the children of God. It is the evil one setting stumbling blocks in the way of Christ's little ones so that they stumble and fall into sin, into misbelief, and finally, unbelief, that they fall out of grace, away from God. Satan's army is sinful mankind. Woe to that man by whom the offense comes. The stone set before the faithful to make them fall are false teaching, immorality, greed, and lust and hatred, their laziness and selfishness and sinful pleasure and pride, wanting to be number one. Jesus sets forth the saving gospel. Conversion is the work of God, he teaches. Stumbling blocks are the work of men. Protecting the believers is the work of angels. Saving the lost is the work of the Son of Man. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Over and over and over again in Scripture, Jesus declares to us, we cannot save ourselves from Satan's grip. Neither can we even bring ourselves to faith in Jesus, the Holy One. We're dependent upon God and his word, upon the Spirit, upon the word water of baptism, and upon the life-giving bread from heaven. The Son of God fought our battle on Mount Calvary, away from us in space and time, so that we might trust in him. And the Spirit of Christ has worked faith in our hearts, so that we might not despair of our wretchedness and die in unbelief, but that we might repent, believe, and live. Jesus speaks of little ones who believe in me, of being converted and being made like little children, of humbling oneself as this little child, and of receiving one such child in my name. Jesus speaks of someone causing one of these little ones who believe in me to fall from the faith. Was Jesus just suggesting that that little child was itself a believer? That among those who were following along with Jesus and who were part of Jesus' kingdom, there were children already? Or was this just some unbelieving child that happened to be standing close by? We don't want to be naive concerning the faith of children and of the faith of the child that Jesus stood in their midst. Somehow there are those who discern from Jesus' words here and elsewhere, on the one hand, that children are free from sin during their infancy, and on the other, that they're incapable of believing for themselves. Besides many Protestants, Rome holds that the faith which the church as a whole has is the substitute faith for the child at its baptism. We believe the child is brought to faith by the water word, the word water of baptism. What do we read in the very next chapter, Matthew 19? It's as though the disciples are testing what Jesus has just said. The disciples were rebuking those who were bringing little children to Jesus, so that Jesus had to rebuke the disciples. Weren't you listening? These little ones are made believers in me. Become like them. The Holy Spirit was given by God with the promise already in the Garden of Eden. Thus, Adam and Eve believed in the conquering seed that was to come. They didn't conjure up this faith in themselves. Immediately upon falling, they were spiritually dead, devoid of faith in God. But where the Word of God is, there the Spirit is also. So it was in the creation. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no faith, no spiritual life, no eternal salvation. We know the Spirit was given already from the time of Noah until from time of Adam until Noah, when at first the Word of God was passed from generation to generation, and then later it wasn't. Were the Holy Spirit not being given with the Word, God would not have said in Genesis 6, "My Spirit won't strive with man forever," so that God then limited man's life to 120 years. Believers are taken home to heaven from this evil age, lest they perish eternally through continual sinning, like so many in the days of Noah. King David, who confessed being conceived and born in sin, prays that God would not take his Holy Spirit from him. Before we ever get to Matthew's gospel, the scriptures already teach that all people are born in sin, that the Savior will redeem the whole world of sinners, that no one is justified except through his personal faith in the promised one, that this personal saving faith is a gift of God's grace and not of man's doing is implied in the spiritual death of Adam and Eve in the garden. They were raised up to faith by God's almighty creative word. And St. Paul, of course, affirms this specifically. Now Jesus speaks of entering his kingdom. Baptism forms a boundary between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of the world and of the devil. Baptism separates the child from Satan and his control, from the guilt and power of sin, from death and hell, and places the child under the care and control of Jesus Christ and his angels. When we prayed for the child, that he would be separated from the unbelieving world and be made a part of the believing, we were praying that in this rite of baptism, true faith would be created in the child. All are conceived under the power and authority of the devil. That's what the exorcism declares to us. The point of the baptismal rite is that the Holy Spirit is taking up his rightful residence in the temple of this child's body and soul. He creates him and now has created him again. Depart, unclean spirit. Get out of the way. Make room for the Holy Spirit. As we sing in a hymn, Jesus has come as the mighty Redeemer. See now the threatening strong one disarmed. Jesus breaks down all the walls of death's fortress, brings forth the prisoners triumphant, unharmed. Satan, you wicked one, own now your master. Jesus has come. He, the mighty Redeemer. Signed with the sign of the Holy Cross, Adam Thomas has been marked with the mark of Christ to show the demons and devil whose he is and who his protector is. In his lectures on Genesis, Luther writes how the church has been granted the most glorious honor of Christ. Indeed, God has given such power to men. Luther writes, I'm not the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. But observe what I do. I take an infant, and by baptizing it, I redeem it from death, the devil, and sins, and translate it from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This a pastor of the church does, and in an emergency, any Christian also does. He continues, God blesses us with an eternal and spiritual blessing so that the devil is compelled to flee when he sees an infant being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For here I am not destroying the kingdom of the Turks or of Augustus or of the kings of the Persians. No, I am destroying the kingdom of the prince and God of this world. End quote. How is this accomplished? Except through the word, water, and the Spirit, by which faith is granted all, whether old or young, or even very young. As Peter preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit? Except the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, which you have been given. All of you baptized have been converted and made little children in Jesus' kingdom. Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of David, the seed of Abraham, the seed of the woman, yes, the Son of Adam, as Luke calls him, is your Savior King. How important it is to understand and believe this. Today, old Adam went into the water, and new Adam came out, born in the image of Christ, never to be old again. Born doubting and unbelieving, reborn Adam Thomas now cries, my Lord and my God. Protected by angels, he is now numbered with the saved in the holy ark of Christendom. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.